Hi, everybody. It is Wednesday night, November the 4th, 2009. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM. You're listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
I didn't think you were going to make it.
I'm here.
I was picturing myself writing tomorrow saying Ken got ditched and...
It didn't actually happen, though.
It didn't happen. You're here. Welcome.
I don't know if you noticed, but the Yankees are playing the Phillies right now.
I didn't even know it was basketball season.
Oh.
Do you want to give everyone a live
score? I see you signed
score?
Us in and everything. Oh, my goodness. No, I should leave you alone
set.
Every week.
Because we get all set. I was all by myself. I was crying. I figured she's out protesting because it's such a day for the gays. But then you were here. Is everything okay with the basketball game?
It's awesome. No, it's not. But we're going to talk about that later.
Okay. So this is what I thought we would do. You okay over there?
I have two mics, just for the listeners to know this. I have no idea which one is working because I haven't found the headphones yet.
They're right there. The
I know, but I have two handfuls of mics.
Okay, so we'll work on that. You don't need the headphones. You can hear just fine, right?
Right.
Okay. So this is what I thought we would do. Let me lay it out for you. The temptation is to just do all the sad news and go off on it and be really depressed.
I really don't want to do the sad news. That's why I'm late.
Okay.
I can't face the sad news today.
Well, might this help? Might it help if we were to start out with some happy news?
Is there good news, Ken?
Tons. Play a song. I wish people could see what Becca is doing over there. So we're going to start out with some happy news. We're going to play a song. Then we're going to do really depressing news. And then we're going to welcome a guest.
I don't know if I could face the depressing part of this evening.
Let's start with the happy news and then let's just see where we get.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, hello. Nice to see you.
Hi, Ken. It's been so long.
It has. I feel like I haven't seen you.
I haven't seen you all week, actually, all right. Which is weird.
It's a little weird. So let's do happy news. Happy news.
Did you quit? Do you work at Burger King or something now?
I don't. I am still at the Marlboro College. That is where I work.
Good to know.
Yeah. Happy news. Here we go. I'm going to do a slew of happy news. I'm going to just...
Can we pretend the bad news didn't happen and just tell people to go to the internet and look up bad news for gays?
We can tell them that until we get to our second segment, and then we're going to cover some...
Is it really our responsibility to deliver bad news?
I have some things to say about the bad news.
Okay.
All right, so here's all this. It's going to be a barrage. I'm going to smack you across the face with good news.
Please do.
All right, so here it is.
My face is waiting.
Here, slap number one. Openly gay mayor was just elected in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Mark Kleinschmidt, he emerged victorious in his campaign for mayor of Chapel Hill with a 49.49% to 46.53% lead against chief opponent Matt Jarzowski. So yay for Mark Kleinschmidt, who becomes, I think, only the third openly gay mayor in that state. So yay. How's that? It's a good start.
Yay.
Okay. This is news number two. I'm telling you, I'm slapping you across the face with the good news. A gay rights law passed in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Another huge deal. Kalamazoo residents voted on Tuesday evening to pass a highly debated anti-discrimination ordinance. Sexual orientation and gender identity now will be added as protected classes to Ordinance 1856. In addition, Rebecca, it will be illegal to discriminate against LGBT individuals in the areas of hiring, housing, and public accommodation. With the passing of this ordinance, all complaints filed will be investigated by the city manager's office, and violators could face fines of up to $500 per day until the situation is resolved.
Yay!
All right. Look at
I've
that.
Gotta say, you know yes. what? I respect that you actually did all this research. Because I started doing research, and I got so sad and frustrated. And I was already having a bad day, and I just couldn't even go any further
because
I was afraid that it would make me clinically depressed. And so I walked away.
I am going to make people happy. I'm going to keep going. I'm not done. There's so much happy news out there.
I'm glad that there was good news because
until we
it
get
didn't
to,
seem that way.
Yeah, until we get to segment two, which I have some stuff to say. Hank Gilbert, a Democratic candidate for governor in Texas, is about to unveil a far-reaching plan this evening on Wednesday to introduce several pieces of gay rights legislation for his state. His campaign will release a 10-point policy proposal, which includes an LGBT anti-discrimination law in housing and employment, an end to discriminatory insurance practices, especially, God, here's a phrase you never see, especially for transgender people, and a repeal of the state's Defense of Marriage Act. And this was a quote from Hank Gilbert. Quote, I was raised in a home where discrimination had no place. I was raised to treat all people equally. For me, knowing that discrimination exists in Texas and doing nothing about it goes against everything I stand for. It also makes all those who remain silent passive participants in discrimination. Yay, Hank.
Did you hear that?
I'm telling you. He also added that he wants Texas to be at the forefront of LGBT rights because his state, quote, came to sit at the table of equality very late when it came to civil rights for African Americans and Latinos. Other proposed policies include starting an anti-bullying campaign for LGBT students. And in his policy proposal, he mentions Eric Mohat, a 17-year-old who was harassed so much in high school that he committed suicide. So that's yay for Hank Gilbert, and that's in Texas. I got more. There's more. I'm going to keep slapping you. Students rally. A teacher at a Southwestern high school in Piazza, Illinois, is going to be reinstated after he was suspended for a controversial reading assignment. Hundreds of his students showed up at a 6.5-hour school board meeting to urge members to keep the 10th grade English teacher on staff. He had been suspended after a parent of one unidentified student asserted that an assignment on homosexuality in the animal kingdom was inappropriate, and the students ran to his aid, and he was reinstated. I got more for you, Becca. A victory in Wisconsin.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I know.
Breathe.
It's all good news until we get to the second segment. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court just like a minute ago rejected a lawsuit challenging the Badger State. By the way, apparently Wisconsin, the Badger State, challenging the Badger State's domestic partner registry. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court has rejected. Get over it. It's the Badger State. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court has rejected a lawsuit challenging the Badger State's domestic partner stuff. They offered no explanation for its decision.
How many times could you say
I just wanted to
Badger
say
State?
I read the same sentence twice because I just wanted to say Badger State. The court offered no explanation for its decision, which upholds the registry that offers same-sex couples legal benefits. Okay, that's it for my good news. So we're going to play a song. We're going to play a song as requested by tonight's guest. And then we are going to talk about perhaps the main event. The main event. So here we go.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Hark how the bells sing in so sweetly. And Gloria, Gloria. Deck the halls, I'll be home for Christmas. Gonna see jolly old St. Nicholas. Gloria, Gloria. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I just can't wait to hold you near. Joy to the world, hear those sleigh bells ring. A silent night, except the world is singing. Gloria, Gloria. It's Christmas time in the city. Of a white Christmas, well, I've been dreaming. Gloria, Gloria. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I just can't wait to hold you near. It's lovely weather, I'd love to take a sleigh ride together with Gloria, Gloria. Gloria, Gloria. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I just can't wait to hold you near. Gloria, Gloria,
that was a song called Gloria, and that is from the new album called Make the Yuletide Gay, which we are going to talk about a little bit later with our guest. So I'm a little nervous to talk to you about some other things because I don't want you to have a breakdown. So wait, let me just say...
I'm not going to have a breakdown.
Okay, let me say...
I've had enough chocolate cake at this point that I'm cool.
Okay. In Washington State, which is not getting as much press as Maine... perhaps because it's not totally done yet, their new Everything But Marriage law was narrowly passing today with about half the vote still to be counted. So it's not done yet, but it's looking pretty good in Washington State. And that's Referendum 71, which asked voters to approve or reject the final expansion to the state's domestic partnership law, which grants registered domestic partners additional state-granted rights currently given only to married couples. So we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully next week we will be reporting to you, our faithful listeners, that has gone through in Washington. On to Maine. Ready?
Do we have to? Is it our, like, civic responsibility?
I think it is. Let me read a little bit. I'm going to read a
little bit. We are the bearers of bad news, folks.
This was... I feel like people know the news, so things didn't go so well in Maine.
No, they don't.
Okay, in Maine, things didn't go... It's a lot of faith that you have in our listeners. Our listeners know.
My friends didn't know.
Oh, okay.
And they usually are pretty on top of stuff.
Yeah. So things didn't go so well in Maine. This is what Tony Kushner, the Pulitzer Prize winning playwright, had to say about Maine. And this is, I'm quoting from this op-ed that he wrote. The news from Maine doesn't make me depressed, but it does make me angry. I'm angry that bigots, cretins, and theocrats get to vote on whether or not their fellow citizens are entitled to equality under the law. Our basic right to equal treatment is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution and should not be subject to state referendums. I'm angry that the Catholic Church and the Mormons, tax-exempt under the increasingly laughable pretext that they have something to do with God, pump millions upon millions of dollars into this wicked campaign to promote bigotry and perpetuate human suffering, while supporters of LGBT equality pay taxes for the privilege of continuing to be not fully enfranchised sub-citizens. I'm very angry that we're being forced to fight for equality on a state-by-state basis. We are American citizens, and we are entitled to 14th Amendment protection in every aspect of our lives, in every state in the Union. I have no doubt whatsoever, Becca. Okay, I think he actually put Becca in there.
What was the bad news here, Ken?
So the bad news was that...
I'm sorry, I'm hearing the response to the bad news. I'm not hearing the bad news.
So for folks that do not know...
As I wave the microphone around and no one can hear me.
Yes, it was a bit of a loss, in Maine, as a group has successfully overturned
There is no gay marriage in Maine.
There's no more gay marriage in Maine.
No more.
And from Frank Schubert, the chief organizing for Stand for Marriage Maine, which lobbied for the repeal of the law, his quote was, "The institution of marriage has been preserved in Maine and across the nation." So that's him. Let me actually one more paragraph from Tony Kushner. Quote, "I have no doubt whatsoever that LGBT people will soon accomplish this, but I'm angry at the setbacks, of course, in Maine and California, which do nothing but hurt real human beings and gain no one anything that any sane human being could possibly want. And I guess I should add that I'm angry at the LGBT community's lack of effective national and political leadership, our lack of a coordinated national strategy, but there are signs that maybe this is beginning to change. And I guess I should add that I'm angry at myself. I didn't send money or help out in Maine, so who have I got to be angry at really other than myself? On the other hand, 47% for marriage equality is a number that should hearten us and dishearten the bigots, cretins, and theocrats, so let's get back to work." Let's run through your emotions. What are you feeling?
It's discouraging, but at the same time, I mean, I think it's a good reminder of where we really are.
Okay. Where are we?
For us, for instance, we're in Vermont. It's easy to forget that this is still a controversial issue.
Okay.
And so I think that Maine is another reminder, just like California was, that we still have a lot of work to do and that there is still a lot of education that needs to get out there. And in some ways, I think it should kind of renew our efforts.
Yes, you're really, I'm looking across at you right now and you just look oh so renewed.
I'm so tired of the same stuff. I am. I'm tired of fighting for basic
I was thinking earlier that if we had done this show 15 years ago, I think it is pretty incredible that we have stuff to talk about every single week. There are new gay stories every single day, and that's incredible.
It is good, in a way.
it's just incredible. I mean, sure, that there are websites where we can find gay news, but that we've never sat here. I think there was one week that we were like, oh, God, there's just nothing to talk about. But for the most part, we just have tons to talk about every week, and that's... So I think, if anything, my God, we're living in a really exciting time. So that's kind of cool. Right,
and we are echoing the times in a lot of ways. We're repeating the stories that are out there, which is good. And I hear these conversations out there, which amaze me. I went down to New Jersey because I had some family stuff going on, which is why I was missing in action a couple weeks ago. And I was down there, and I was spending a lot of time with the Catholic side of my family, which can be challenging as far as politics go.
Right.
But especially the younger generation, they don't have as many concerns as you might think. And I was really surprised when a couple of my cousins came up to me and said, you know, I know you and thank you for coming out. Thank you for proving so and so wrong.
Oh, send them a magnet.
Because it's not that your father wasn't present in your life. It's not whatever the typical stereotypical thing is. You know, like, thank you for coming out in this context of an Irish Catholic family because you've blasted some of these arguments that people have. And then I feel good about that. And then I hear somebody else with ignorance and not necessarily related to me, but nearby. And it sets you right back again, you know? So it's the same stuff.
It's the same thing. All right, we're going to play a song. We're going to move along, and that's also the name of this song.
Shaking cold, these hands are meant to hold.
All right, we have moved along, and we're going to welcome a guest. Guest, are you there?
I am here.
Fantastic. Everybody, Rob Williams is an award-winning screenwriter and filmmaker and co-owner of Guest House Films, which has put out just four really great, great films. Long-Term Relationship, Back Soon, 3-Day Weekend, and Make the Yuletide Gay, which came out like an hour
ago.
Yeah. But he did not just produce those films, Becca. He did not just direct them. He also wrote them.
No,
he did. I think he even worked like the craft services table for all of these movies. They've been screened at film festivals around the world, winning audience, jury, and acting awards, and securing distribution deals in North America and foreign territories, along with his partner, Rodney. Rob was named to Instinct Magazine's Leading Men of 2008 for his contributions to gay cinema. Rob Williams, welcome to this show is so gay.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
This is a big week for you.
It's a huge week, yes.
How are you doing? Tell everyone what's going on with your week.
We started our special theatrical run in Los Angeles this week, and I've been going every day to do Q&As with the audience, and it's just been absolutely fantastic. I mean, they really love the film, so it's a lot of fun.
I bet. So now, we talked just a little tiny bit about some of the more disappointing gay news of yesterday. How do you reconcile? So you're having like this amazing, you're not just having an amazing week, Rob, you're having an amazing gay week, and then some not so encouraging.
Did you say an amazing gay week?
Well, it is an amazing LGBT themed week for Rob. Is it fair to say you're having a gay themed week, Rob?
It is.
Okay. So how do you reconcile, you know, having this incredibly gay positive week with the screenings of Make the Yuletide Gay with yesterday's news? Has it come up during the screenings? Is it on people's minds? I mean, I know it was just last night, but.
Well, it's definitely on people's minds. And it's, of course, incredibly disappointing and disturbing. And, you know, that's what people are thinking about.
Right.
I just have to think, because I have to focus on the movie right now, that hopefully what will happen is that more and more people will come out in their personal lives and in their professional lives, and when people know gay people in their lives, they're much more receptive to the idea of gay marriage and equal rights for the gay community. And, you know, I would love for our movie to be just a small part of that. You know, if one person sees this and feels like they can come out to their parents, and that way their parents are more tolerant of gay marriage, then you know, let's look at the long-term picture with that.
It almost becomes when you partake in queer cinema, when you make LGBT themed movies, it almost becomes such a bigger part than a small part, because that whole medium is just not that extensive. Do you feel that when you make movies of just, well, gosh, I'm contributing to a field that there should be so much more in? So there, it just feels like there's so much more weight on every single...
An underrepresented genre,
perhaps?
There
you go. It is an underrepresented genre. Do you feel that when you're making the films?
I guess in a way, yeah. I mean, certainly with Make the Yuletide Gay, we knew that, you know, this was a chance for us to make something that we can get a message out there to, you know, that goes beyond the gay audience.
Definitely.
And so there's a lot of, in a way there's a lot of pressure, but in a way it's like it feels really good to make something that, you know, isn't just preaching to the converted, but you know, this is something that people can watch with their straight families and you know, their parents and friends, and you know, hopefully change some minds, who knows. I know what you mean.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So what kind of questions are you getting at the screenings? What have been some of the funnier questions?
The questions we get, we always get, you know, how did you get Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie?
Oh, come on. I mean, I would be overwhelmed by that.
She's just fantastic. Alison Arngrim, who plays Nellie Olson, and she plays Heather Mancuso in our films. It was just funny because we have a mutual friend, and we were able to get her the script, and I think 2 days after we sent her the script, she calls up and says, "Hi, this is Alison Arngrim," and her voice hasn't changed, you know, since the Nellie Olson days. And, you know, she loved the script. She's like, "When do I need to show up?"
Oh, my gosh.
And
she was so much fun to work with. Love her.
Wow. Okay, so what else are you getting? I feel like you get funnier questions at some of these talkbacks than some of the other film screenings out there.
I don't know about funny. We just get a lot of questions about, the making of the film. We get a lot of questions about a sequel.
Oh, there you go.
Pretty much every screening, because it kind of ends with this sort of like tease that, you know, we'll see the different families get together.
Right.
And everyone asks about that, and you know, that would be great.
So what's
so
up
it's
next?
It's ambiguous.
It's an ambiguous. There's a little teaser. It could be. It's not necessarily.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either.
And now I kind of feel like the ending is ruined.
No. I'm excited. Ruined. I'm excited. How do we get to go see it?
Well, it's playing here in Los Angeles this week, and it's coming out on DVD next Tuesday.
Oh my gosh!
November 10th. So once it's out on DVD, you know, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble, and it's on Borders. It's on Netflix and Blockbuster. It is
going to
be on iTunes and Amazon Video on Demand and Netflix Streaming and, you know, TLA on Demand. So you can see it.
You're saying we have no excuse for not getting a hold of this movie.
Exactly.
There is no excuse.
No excuse. And it's going to be in the UK. It's going to be in Germany. It's going to be in a lot of other countries.
Okay.
So, you know.
So what I heard you just say is that you're sending us tickets to England so that we can go see it there.
Once you go wait by the mailbox, those will be right over.
I'll be checking every 10 minutes.
You don't say stuff like that to us, Rob, because we'll go do it. So do you ever have any temptation to, I mean, this is lighthearted fare. This was good lighthearted fare, right?
Can you
right.
tell us a little bit more about the film? I'm sorry. A lot of people haven't really heard that much about it.
Yes.
With the politics that are going on right now, people are distracted. And so
overwhelm the politics of the moment, Rob, and tell us about this movie.
Well, this is a family Christmas comedy.
Yay.
It's about a openly gay student who comes back to visit his parents for the Christmas break while he's in college.
Okay.
And he's not out to his parents. And so he is, you know, playing straight and is trying to tell them, and, you know, they're kind of clueless. And then his boyfriend shows up and surprises him for a visit, and his boyfriend doesn't know that he's not out to his parents.
Oops.
And then wackiness ensues because they don't know who he is, and they're trying to set him up with the neighbor girl, and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
You're very good at the wackiness ensues. I've seen some of the other movies. Do you feel like, okay, I excel at wackiness ensues?
I like wacky.
Is that, like, on your business card?
I would put it on there.
I want that on my business card.
So, our business card, our company, we refer to ourselves as a totally gay motion picture company.
Well, see, and how great is that to say? I mean, I would just say that and beam with pride every single time I said it. It's not like, oh, gosh, we have some gay films in our
list. But we're not totally gay. We're so gay.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you're so gay. We're totally gay.
Okay.
Now we're just splitting hairs, folks.
And you not only work with your partner...
Mm-hmm.
One could argue that you live with your partner.
Well, yes. He's my business partner. We been together 15 years.
One could argue that this is a very dangerous proposition.
I think we can move on with this because some of our guests have said they've tried to work with their romantic partners and it has not worked out so well.
Yeah.
You, Rob Williams, are writing the prescription for success for this. What is the secret?
Or we could be about to stumble on juicy gossip.
We're not breaking gossip here. We are confirming a 15-year relationship.
We were together so long before we started making movies. That, you know, when we formed the company and started doing this, we kind of knew what each other's strengths are.
Right.
And so, you know, we're able to divide the work and you know, figure out how to make it work. And, you know, we also have another producing partner, Matthew Montgomery, who produces all the films with us. But, for us, it's just, you know, we know what works. And you know, after four films, we... pretty much have it down, which is great.
Yeah. So, all right, let's name the three things that you're good at and the three things that he's good at. We want to see the contrast.
Yeah.
He's very organized.
Okay.
And he's, you know, very good with people in terms of, you know, just...
That's what I say about Ken.
He
organizes and he deals with people.
Yes, but that makes it sound, Rob, like that means that by default you're some misanthropic mess, and we know that that's not true.
Really? How do you know that?
I don't, but well, I'm trying to help you out
here, Rob. Well, we're
talking
to you right now, and we have to suck up a little.
I'm trying to sell the movie, Rob.
Well, it's just like when we're on set, you know, I'm focusing on the directing aspect
Absolutely.
Of it, and, you know, Rod is focusing on the producing aspect, and like... dealing with all of the people behind the scenes so that I can deal with all of the people in front of the camera.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that works out really well.
How do you, can I say, as we've spoken to some other writer-directors before, and one of the challenges that we've heard about is that when you write it with, gosh, this is what I want this to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're directing it, you're trying to match up what you're hearing with what you want it to sound
yeah.
like.
Yeah, how is much, that awkward?
How much have you had to compromise in doing that?
Well, I mean, what's great about it is, you know, you turn it over to your actors, and they bring a whole fresh approach to it, and then you work with them to try to get exactly what you want. What I've been really lucky about is with Make the Yuletide Gay, for instance, the two of the parents who are played by Kelly Keaton and Derek Long,
mm-hmm.
Those are actors I've worked with before, and I wrote the parts for them.
Oh, nice.
So I knew exactly how they talk. I know what That's they're capable of doing, and so, you know, I just wrote it, and, you know, then they gave me exactly what I expected because I know them. So that was really great.
So there was no chance of them saying, no, we're not going to be in this film, because that would have ruined things.
Yeah, if Kelly Keaton, basically she is Anya Gunderson, the mother of the main character. Yeah, if she hadn't wanted to do it, I don't know what would have happened because it's totally her.
Go.
Nice.
So what's up next? What are we working on next?
We are working on promoting this DVD.
Okay.
We're working on...
We're doing that right now. We got that down pat.
We're on it.
We've optioned a novel called Van Allen's Ecstasy.
Okay.
That I'm adapting for the screen, and I'm going to direct, and hopefully that will go into production next year. You know, we're still trying to finalize all the financing, so if anyone out there listening has big bags of money that they would like to send us, we would gladly take it.
Okay.
What about little bags of money?
A lot of little bags of money would help.
What about rolled coins?
We'll take that.
Okay.
It's good. It's good to establish what you're looking for, Rob.
We're,
this is a good
thing.
We're
just specifying.
As the commercial says, you can pay us in gum.
Rob, from our listeners, you might get that.
Okay.
Hey, what are you saying about our listeners?
I'm just saying they
That's
like
just the host.
they like their gum. So, Rob, I must say this is one of our favorite parts of the show when we get to, you know, give you an opportunity to tell our listening audience a little bit more about yourself.
And by that he means he's going to psychoanalyze.
No, no. I'm going to let Rob do it himself. You will do it yourself because your song selections. A very interesting mix of songs, Rob.
Okay.
Two songs that I already had on my iPod, two that I now have on my iPod.
Oh, my God, it's Ken's favorite.
This is my favorite because
he loves
I feel
it
like
when it's
I have a,
mix. A
connection with our guest, but I get to learn more about him through the two songs I didn't know. So we're going to give you a couple of your songs, Rob. You are going to tell our listening audience what these songs say about you, Rob Williams. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right.
I know this is scary, but bear with him.
Well, bear with me. So we'll start out with Gloria from Make the Yuletide Gay. Love that song that we played earlier.
It's great. I that's I don't know what that says about me. It's upbeat. It's a Christmas song. You know, I love that feeling that it gives you. What it says about me is when I hear it, it signifies the end of the film because it plays over the closing credits, and so I hear it and it gives this intense feeling of satisfaction.
Nice
when I hear it.
Nice. See, you're doing well at this. This is good.
Okay.
And we'll do two more. It's actually one of my favorite songs of all time, Move Along by the All-American Rejects, that played you in.
That's a good one.
Why that song?
I just love that song. That's one of those that I can put on my iPod and it just gets me going. You know, just helps me get moving, helps me get excited, and
all right.
I don't know.
That's a good motivator. It's a good motivated song.
Yeah.
And now on the opposite side of the spectrum, and this song, I have to tell you, Rob, when I saw that you had requested it, I immediately get emotional with Coldplay's Fix You.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I'm not sure if you saw the documentary Young at Heart.
I did not.
Oh, it's an incredible, incredible documentary about this singing group that is based out of Northampton, Massachusetts, which is pretty close to where we are right now. It was released, I think, last year or the year before. And it's a senior citizen singing group singing songs from Coldplay and all these modern groups. And this is one of the main songs that they sing in the movie. And so it, and unfortunately the gentleman who has the solo passes away, and it's a documentary. It's an amazing, amazing film. So it, I got all choked up. What significance does Fix You have for you?
It's hard to say. With songs, certain songs just resonate with you.
Absolutely.
And you hear that, when I hear that song, it touches something, and I can't even explain why.
Right.
I hear that and it just stops me in my tracks, and something about the harmony and just the lyrics, and it just,
it's just an incredible song.
That's one of the songs where every element works, and when you add it all together, it's like, one of my favorite songs of all time.
There you go. You did it, Rob. You're done with the psychoanalyzing.
Okay, good.
You got through that whole portion. So where should folks go to learn more about Guesthouse Films, about Make the Yuletide Gay? Or about you. Where should we go?
We can go to our website, which is guesthousefilms.com.
Okay.
And, of course, Facebook.
Facebook's a good thing.
Facebook. We have a fan page for Make the Yuletide Gay, so you can just search for that.
Okay.
And just, search for me. And someone even started a fan page. We have two fan pages. One is to bring back the Gundersons.
Okay.
It's kind of like trying to get the drive going for a sequel. And there's one to declare Kelly Keaton, who plays the mom in the film, a gay icon.
Nice.
And once you see the film, you'll understand why.
You listed all these different places where we can get the film. So we're going to go get the film, and we're going to try to vote her as a gay icon as well.
I think you should.
All right. Well, you have to know, Rob Williams, that you are making films, you are providing content that is just so sorely needed. It's just such a great thing. There are so many people all across the country that the films that have gay characters, that have gay content, really, unfortunately, in many ways, is their only access to the LGBT community, and that you are able to provide that for so many different people is just such a great thing. And on behalf of all of them, we're just so appreciative of the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I can't tell you how great it is for me to go around the country to different film festivals and to get people's feedback and to know that, these films mean something to people.
Well, they do. And so we thank you, Rob. You're going to keep making these films, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Amen.
Best to your partner. Thank you so much for calling in. And everyone, please, please, please check out Make the Yuletide Gay. You can order it in a million different places. Stroll on over to Guesthouse Films and their website, and just check out the great work that Rob Williams is doing. Rob,
and
thank
I'll
you.
I'll quickly plug.
Yes,
we also have
please.
A soundtrack CD that's available on iTunes and Amazon. It's got the song Gloria that you played and a lot of other great music from the film.
And we will make sure that we link to that when we post it on our website. Rob, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Keep making these films.
Thank you.
Entertaining the masses.
Absolutely.
I will do that.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye. Bye.
Try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep. Stuck in and the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it will guide you home.
That was Coldplay's Fix You, one of my favorite songs of all time.
It's a really good song. It's a really good song. It is not uplifting.
It's not uplifting. So we're gonna rely on one of our faithful listeners to uplift us. Reed, are you there?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Hi. Say hi to Becca.
Hi, Becca.
Are you ignoring me?
We haven't talked to you in quite some time. How are things in California?
It's very pleasant. Much warmer than where you are.
Okay. That's a lovely story, Reed. Thanks for sharing that with the masses. All right. Give us your perspective on Maine. Now, Reed and I were texting each other earlier. He had all these very well-formed opinions about what this means and what this doesn't mean. I responded that I'm struggling to even form a well-formed opinion, and I will tell you why, Reed. I am floored by the fact that there are people, millions and millions of people out there who are spending money, are spending time, and I'm not really the most spiritual person, but I would like to point out they are also spending their spirit in an active pursuit to deny rights to other people. And I can't get past that to even talk about anything. I'm just floored. Yeah, sure, So, Reed, how do I even get past that?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to realize that there's no significant difference between the outcome of the election in Washington State and in Maine. Both were approximately 50% each way.
Okay.
And the way that it fell on either side was really not statistically significant, most likely. But what you do see, you know, not that long ago, only 18% of the population supported same-sex marriage, and now you have 50%. So that's an enormous success. And if you look at the trend over the last couple of decades, you also will see that it's headed in a very distinct direction, which I think is a direction that you would approve of.
Okay.
But you have to separate people who you're complaining about into two groups. One are the people who voted, who I think mostly, not all of them, but a lot of them were just misled by lies.
Many lies.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with the false idea of protecting children from what exactly, I'm not sure, and following specific supernatural beliefs of, you know, specific sects of religion that are maybe interpreted correctly based on that particular belief, maybe misinterpreted, but certainly they're leaving a lot of, you know, they're picking and choosing which passages of their own text they want to believe in. There's a list of some 60-plus abominations. Shrimp is one of them.
It's a terrible thing, that shrimp. I'm told. I've never tasted it in my life, but I'm told it's not a good thing.
Good. At least you avoided that one.
I'm good.
Thank goodness.
Thankfully. Maybe still a spot in heaven for you.
Woo!
I don't think coffee's on that list, Ken.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? All right.
The other thing is, so there's the people who voted who are mostly ill-informed, and part of that has to do with
I can't accept that.
Well, no, but that's true. People are ill-informed, and whether you don't have to accept it, it's the truth. The other side
but
of it
that's
is
not an excuse.
Well, it's not an excuse for this outcome, but, you know, people who claim that this, when this succeeded in Maine, that one of the leaders of it said that he was thanking God for doing this.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is the same God that supposedly used to change people into pillars of salt, and now he just eked out a 53% success. That's not very impressive. And he failed at several other places to achieve the same goal. And it failed in Washington, failed in other states earlier this year. It seems like if that is what God is doing, God is dying.
Well, okay.
But, you know, obviously, that's nonsense. The people who ran this campaign are very different, and you should have different complaints about them than you do about the people who voted. The people who ran these campaigns perpetrate lies that they know are false, but they know are effective. People want to protect their children. That's a natural instinct. And people are afraid of things that are different than them, and that's what they worked on. They worked on the very same idea that this will force things to be taught in school, that this will take away control from parents, take away religious rights and all these other things. All of that is untrue. Nothing changed when same-sex marriage was legalized in other places, and yet they can perpetrate these lies because most of the time when people don't know someone who's gay, it makes it a lot easier to believe these things.
Yeah.
So I think some of the fault for this lies on all of the gay people and lesbians and family members and friends of gays and lesbians who are out there in the workplace amongst people that they come in from a weekend with their same-sex partner and at work say only vague things with gender-neutral terms, don't mention to the people who know and like them at work
right.
that they are gay.
You don't do that, though.
What's that?
You don't do that.
No.
Okay.
I don't discuss that with my patients necessarily. It's not
Why not? It's
really
a great important. Opportunity.
It's not an appropriate doctor-patient discussion.
You know, who really defines what that is appropriate? But no, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I guess maybe what I want to see is some exit poll data on why people voted for this referendum. Because sure. Do I think that some people were just misinformed? Absolutely. Do I think that some people succumbed to some of the lies? Sure. But I guess I'm not comfortable saying that a huge ton of people just knew that this would be denying gay people the right to marry. I mean,
well,
can't you just boil it down to that?
No, you can't.
You're very smart, and you're well educated, and you work at a university.
I do.
Or at least a college.
Hey, none of that.
Ouch.
And so you know, and you have a lot more exposure to liberal ideas and to a diversity of people than the average person anywhere on the planet does.
Did you just call me a hippie?
He totally did.
Okay. Okay, so yes. So Ken Smart, yes.
So you're smart, and you have exposure to lots of diversity. Most people don't. Most people live and die within, you know, a small radius of where they were born and have exposure to people that are much different from them. And their only exposure to homosexuals is what they see on TV.
Right.
And especially if they choose to watch certain sources of news.
Wait. Now you're minimizing. You're minimizing the competition. I mean, really, I know quite a few people who are very against gay marriage and are very against gay rights, and it's not necessarily because they're completely ignorant or that they've never met a gay person. It's that they really do believe that it's God's will that straight people are more righteous. So we can't say that it's just that they've never met a gay person, because that's not true. I know people.
This segment was supposed to be uplifting people.
But it's not.
Becca and Reed, this was supposed to be an uplifting segment to end our show. It's not going in that direction. Go ahead, Reed.
Well, look, it should be uplifting, because you did have half of the people in every recent election that happened like this voted in your favor. That's better than any other time in our nation's history.
Yeah.
And that should mean something to you.
It does.
As people have more exposure to this, and as, you know, I don't know what the age data on this particular election is, but in prior elections, it was the elder group that tended to vote more conservatively. Time removes certain votes.
Okay. I'm not even touching that.
When it's the best PC comment ever.
When I say that, or when Becca says that, it's something, Reed. But when a doctor such as yourself says that, it's really just upsetting, to be honest with you. That was awesome.
I think that there's a lot to feel good about. It was Washington's vote.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think that's statistically different than the one in...
And it's also kind of not done yet.
Well, that's also just for domestic partnership benefits.
Right.
And I know, Becky, you bring up the issue of, people of faith, in the...
Well, I just don't think we should be dismissive, that's all. I mean, I just don't think we should say that people are opposing the gay marriage rights because of ignorance, because I don't think that's necessarily the case.
I think, it's a mixture of things. Anytime that you say that people did things as a group for reason X, you're simplifying things. People have their own motivations for doing different things. Some people have good reasons, and some people have bad. But if they actually believe... that's an abomination.
Yeah.
Or I won't use that term, but if they actually do believe that it's a bad thing that is going to send people to an eternal place of fire, then maybe they do have a moral duty to at least express their opinion very strongly. I don't agree with them, and I think over time that they will lose, but it seems to me also counterintuitive that people who believe strongly that God, who could have given us all a perfect, happy life, but instead opted to give us free will to make the choice, make the correct choices, are trying harder than anyone else to take away people's choices when it comes to same-sex marriage, when it comes to contraception. Even, I don't know if you've talked about Gardasil at all, which is the HPV inoculation. The religious right wanted to stop that from being available to young children, which is who it will help most from cervical cancer death.
So there's work. There's work still to be done, is what we're saying.
Yeah,
there's always work to be done.
There you go. All right. Now, you're saving... what was the last life you saved, by the way? Tell our listeners.
I really don't discuss that aspect of my life too much.
But you're a doctor. You save lives. You're a good gay doctor.
Well, you have a misconception that doctors go to the hospital and there are literally people dropping dead left and right, and we save them.
I saw this documentary.
That happens to me like once a week.
I saw this documentary. It ran for 14, 15 years on NBC. It was called ER. It's What Happened. It's just what I imagine that you do.
Yeah, so that's ER is essentially what I do. See,
okay, good. Don't ruin this for me, Reed. Don't ruin it. All right, well, as always, we adore that you take the time to call in and share your views with us. Everything's good there in California?
Everything is as good as could be in a world that people are discriminated against.
Thank you, Reed.
Could you not have just said, yes, everything's good?
Everything's wonderful.
Awesome.
If you don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, you're welcome to come over.
Well, thank you very much. Okay. And that extends to all of our listeners. If you have nowhere to go...
Reed's place is open.
Go to Reed. Say hi to Joe. They have a cute dog. Reed, thanks so much. Keep doing good things.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. And that, folks, is pretty much it for us this week. So, look, you have some choices. You can be, and I think I've run through the gamut just in this hour alone. You can be super depressed. You can be super encouraged that, well, gosh, there's so many more percentage of votes than we've ever gotten before. You can be motivated to act. You can be defeatist.
But whatever you are, send an email to thisshowissogay@AOL.com and let us know, because we're conflicted, between the two of us.
Absolutely. And listener who's looking for legal advice, I'm on it. I just have to make some calls.
No, Ken.
I'm on it.
No.
I'm on it. To actual lawyers, I'm going to make some calls. WVEW LP 107.7 FM, Browderboro Community Radio, is in the middle of its fall fundraising drive. So we would like to renew our offer that we made last week, and we're going to make it even better for you. If you give $5, stroll on over to wvew.org, and if you give $5 to WVEW, and then you send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com and tell us about it, we will send you This Show Is So Gay magnet. So that is your motivation. We hope that you are able to support community radio. It really gives voice to just a ton of folks who otherwise might not have a voice. And so it's great for the listeners. It's great for the people who do these shows. And that's pretty much it for us, folks. So we will give you an update next week on what's going on in Washington, because that will be settled. Tomorrow, there's a big debate in Washington, D.C. on ENDA. And that's a really big deal. And so we hope that by this time next week, we're able to give you some positive news on ENDA, which for the first time, it's being introduced as trans-inclusive. The interesting thing about it being trans inclusive is that some of the witnesses, none of the witnesses are trans. And that's kind of an odd thing that a lot of people are noting. But hopefully we'll have good news on that next week. So that's pretty much it for us, folks. Get out there, do great things. Above all else, remember.
Make sure we have good news next week.
Yes, please. Why be gay, folks, when you can be so gay?
Of your smiling face, bringing all.